You didn't fucking, you piece of, I hope he keeps this in the show. Jay, keep this in the show. Show behind the scenes, Jay.
We trust the process.
Trust the process.
Ladies and gentlemen and sports fans of all ages, welcome to the Swear Word Party. Trust the process. Vancouver's sixth best Canucks related show. But the number one Canucks 76ers NFL pro wrestling movies, TV, music, and pop culture extravaganza. Please welcome your hosts, Wyatt the Stanchion Art and Jay Bowman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Trust the Process, part of the Hockey Podcast Network, an awesome assembly of shows covering every team in the NHL and a whole lot more. Follow the network at HockeyPodNet on Twitter for new episodes of your favorite shows every day. Speaking of your favorite shows, welcome to TTP and welcome to the Swear Word Party. Bitch! I am Jay Bowman, and I'm joined, as always, by the Napoleon of writing, yes! The Don Draper of pen and paper, Woo! The flightless bird of the written word, the guru of gifts, the flu game phoenix, That's the right! magistrate of free the skate.
Yeah, boy!
He's got a post full of notches from your jersey botches. Yeah! No need to worry, here comes Mr. Surrey, what? The immortal Count Stanchula, formerly the notorious UFA, the Canucks Army Ranger.
Danger!
The reason for the preseason, Brock Besser's advocate, Mr. Wyatt Aren't the Stanchion. Wyatt, how are you doing this fine, fine evening?
Doing okay, but before the show started, we do a little clap
God
to sync up the audio.
You can't just go forward.
And so, no, this, people need to know what I'm dealing with here. And they're like, Wyatt, why are you swimming to Bowman? It's, well, because I'm working with an amateur. We're getting lined up. We're going to do our clap. And I look up, and there's no clap. And I'm like, maybe the connection died. No, you're just staring right at me. No clap. Right at my face.
Dave Lawab, Ganny, Garlic Bread, Pizza Slinger, Spaghetti Bending, Victor Mall, Perry Como, Luciano Pavarotti, Solo Meal, non-singer motherfucker.
You suck!
All right.
I don't think they understand.
All right. Yeah, so that bit I read at the beginning of the show, I don't have it memorized behind the curtain. This is how sausage is made. And as I had it up in front of me, I accidentally scrolled downwards where I couldn't see the start of it. So I had to scroll back up because if I say one wrong word in there, I know you're going to jump all over me and air our dirty laundry in front of all the trustees. So I needed to take an extra second. You're right. I didn't do the sync clap. And I asked, hey, can we just, we'll just need to do this again. And then you made a big fucking federal case out of it. And then I went through, did an incredible intro. How many fucking nicknames do you have now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, over 10. You got double-digit nicknames that I gloss you up every single show, and you're going to come at me for a clap and say that I'm the bad guy. Unbelievable.
This is why I'm the captain.
God damn it.
I'm dealing with amateur over there. This is the guy that probably doesn't even tip the waiters. He looks at them and then gives them a firm handshake.
I over-tip the waiter because I am dumb. I am dumb and cannot do simple math, and I don't want to offend anybody, so I tip more.
Okay. All right, whatever. Anyways, again, so people wonder sometimes why my energy level is low, because I'm trying to build up my ability to try and put up with this for like 2 hours, right? Like, and I tried to make him a better person. Like, I'm looking to the right. There's no one here, but I'm looking to the right of me.
He is talking
to the people.
I'm
trying to work with this.
You're appealing to nobody.
Right? Like,
is Sherlock over there?
Yeah. This is just, it's a rough day.
All right.
Hey, let's just do this. This is
Are you going to be okay?
I don't know.
We can sit here as long as
we need. I want to see how long we'll
sit here. Yeah,
for.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Jay's gonna be like, there was a big drop in the audio for a good 10 seconds since something happened.
No, that was just we were staring at each other intently through Skype.
Yeah.
So.
This is what happens when we lose our ability to get the genuine agreement button. Things have gone downhill
That's
since then.
That's right.
That brought us back together.
Oh, we haven't had a genuine agreement in, yeah. I'd say, years.
Years. I don't know. Can Jay drop one now? Can we agree to try our best this show? If Jay can drop an old school genuine agreement.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Let's move forward. I feel good too.
I can put up with you now. I feel good.
That's a mean thing to say, but I'm going to compartmentalize that and take it out on someone else in the future. But yeah, why don't we talk about the last 7 days, or I guess the opening of the season for the Vancouver Canucks. Been a bit of a rough one. I don't know if you've got some thoughts.
I'll have some thoughts. I do want to give a quick shout out to a TTP member, family member. Becca's having a bit of a rough go. Grandma, mom passed away recently. Just want to say our thoughts are with you. All the hugs in the world. Just hope you're doing okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the best trustees, one of the best people we know.
Yep.
So, yeah. Canucks in seven. Let's hit it. Wyatt, unbeknownst to everybody else, you and I came together. We said when the season started, we will not sit down and record an episode until the Canucks have recorded a win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought we'd be, doing multiple episodes by now. But finally happened. They beat the Florida Panthers in overtime. JT Miller, filthy. Just disgusting.
10th overtime winner now for this team. Like, he's just Mr. Clutch. He's
six away from Daniel Sedin. Remember Daniel Sedin?
He's chasing him down. Yep.
Unbelievable. I've seen people chatter. It's like, oh, he might go down as one of the greatest Canucks of all time when this is all said and done. Maybe.
It's interesting. I mean, he needs a lengthy playoff run in there for sure.
Yep.
You need that kind of, because Nazem, he's never going to have that extra level because the best they got was that loss against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So I think if you had third round, kind of locks you into having that, like, wow, what a time that was. But overall, as JT Miller, he is kind of I don't know, necessarily a lightning rod, but he sparks a lot of debates, especially over the years, especially when it was like Horvat or Miller. And
yeah,
now it feels even easier to say, Miller was the guy. You know, he's had his defensive awareness issues, but like I was talking earlier today with Quadrelli just about how, like, there can be games where Miller's not giving his all or he looks a bit out of it, but he has the ability to raise his game.
Yeah.
To be a game breaker. And that's what people care about. Like, he can come in either with a hit, or he'll start a fight, or he'll come with like a nice shot and goal. And that's kind of what's missing from Pettersson's game, which is why it's kind of easy to get Pettersson like, oh, he's not even trying, he's not doing anything. Whereas Miller can still have games just as bad as Pettersson, but he has that ability to kind of like have those big highlight moments. And I think that's kind of what makes him stand out. And he's just a fun player to watch, honestly.
Absolutely.
He has that swagger. He's got that alpha male swagger, and it's just kind of fun to watch him like blasting goals and just, he's an enjoyable lad.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's start from, I'll start from the back forward and talk goalies to start. So Shelov's, Lankinen, both have had a couple starts. What's your take on the net?
Well, I mean, Shelov's came in the playoffs. Everyone's like, oh, God, Canucks are screwed. They got this young guy who has no games under his belt. And he played, very, very well. But it is a different beast when your team's locked into playoff mode and the Canucks were like in the zone at taking away those high danger chances. Like they made Edmonton have to struggle to score time. So Shelov's had about as good as a team in front of you as you can get in terms of like protecting him. The only thing that kind of got through to him were those weird shots from the point. He just couldn't track it. His puck tracking has just been bizarre. It's like you doing intros. You never know what you're going to get. You're like, this guy's going to drop the ball, and it's just a bit frustrating. But overall, now that we've got Lankinen kind of pushing him, like Shelov still looks to have, he has a bit of tracking issues, but he can still be a fine goalie. But like right now, if you're saying like, who would you want to, be the starter? I'm not saying Lankinen has got that net locked up. I still think you play the hot hand to a degree. Lankinen to me has just looked more dialed in. He's tracking the puck better. And he's someone that like for a team, it's only been four games, but if it's five more games with Shelov's, not playing that great, like all of a sudden now it's 10 games in and you're like behind the eight ball. I don't think, especially if you have a season that you have big designs on, I think you got to go with like Lankinen for now. Sure, maybe he shuts the bat against the Flyers on Saturday. But for me, just from what I've seen, like he seems the more calm and kind of locked in goalie. And I think that's the guy that you roll with for now.
Yeah. A friend of mine who he's an Oilers fan. That's one of the things that keeps our friendship at a distance. He's doing a hockey pool. He lives in New York. He's doing a hockey pool and asked me, like, Canucks goalies, who should I take? I'm kind of leaning towards Lankinen, or what do you think about Shelov? And I'm like, I think Shelov's going to be the guy. Like, I know that there was talk with Demko's injury that from that playoff run last year, kind of looking at Shelov's like, can he be our guy in the future? Young guy, success on the international level, had a hell of a playoff run, not quite bubble Demko-esque, but yeah, man, he played unreal in the playoffs. And Lankinen, not sure. They got him at a pretty good value. We'll see. So I told him to go with Shelov's, and I haven't messaged him yet. But I'm saying, hey, is it too late to possibly switch back to Lankinen? Because, yeah, you're right. Those long shots are, they're troubling.
Yeah, whether it is, and like he himself has admitted he's trying to work on it. And again, it's only four games in, and the team itself wasn't playing that great in front of either goalie. But for me, it just feels like Lankinen's falling into play. And there were a couple of shots against Florida where like he tracked the puck really well, like where it's like, oh man, he got over, he knew it was there, and you're just kind of like worried a bit about Shelovs. Because like at the end of the day, it is weird that like Shelovs can make these like incredible saves down low.
Yeah.
But then teams kind of like settle in just throwing pucks from the point, and it's going in on them, right? And that's, you've played hockey, you've been on the ice. And puck has floated by you and gone in. And like you always tell the goalie, oh, man, we'll give you a good job. But deep down, you're like,
that's never happened.
Yeah, sorry. You've never heard a goal scorer.
Yeah, I'm decking him down with a glove. I'm not letting anything through. I'm laying out.
Well, other people experience this where they're on the ice.
Oh, yeah.
And your goalie lets in a bad goal.
I've seen that, yeah.
You heard about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to support them. But like if it happens a couple times, you do get a bit like, you play a bit differently. You do. You're like, oh, shit. Like all of a sudden, you're like, any shot might go in. And you kind of get out of your game a bit. So I think right now, you've got to go with the guys dialed in. Again, maybe Lankinen gets lit up for 8 goals and you just go back to Shelovs. I don't think it's locked in by any means, but I do think that for sure Lankinen's earned at least the next start to get back, you know, 2 starts in a row.
Right on. Let's move it forward to the defenseman. Early season injury, Tyler Myers.
He recovered like miraculously.
I know.
Like he was dead. Like he was on the ground, not moving, holding his knee, like Family Guy. Went on for like 5 minutes. Like he's holding, he's really hurt. And then
stem cells.
Yeah,
right,
stem cells,
yeah,
eating blood, like whatever it was. And now he's back because he's a chaos draft. And then, like, he's just back in the lineup. It is the defense to me is the biggest concern because I knew when they lost Zadorov and Ian Cole, you're losing Ian Cole's intelligence. He's very high. Like, he's not the fastest skater, but he knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he can penalty kill. Zadorov, we know, you know, he was probably an average D-man for the team during the season, but he can play both sides and he can up his game to high levels. And so, you know, he can skate, he can shoot, he can play in the top four if you need him to. He can also balance out your bottom pairing. And to me, that's what the Canucks have lost. Because right now, when you've got, you know, Desharnais and you've got Forbert and you've got Jolson back there, like, they're struggling. And so when Susie and Myers, who haven't played well together yet, they haven't found their groove, you can no longer just say, okay, we'll give the third pairing more minutes. Like, before he could balance it, like, Hughes gets a lot of minutes, but then it's like 18 minutes for bottom pair two and pair three. You can't really do that right now.
No.
You're stuck being like, you got to shelter that bottom pairing again. It kind of reminds me a bit with, like, Luke Shen was around. Like, I loved him playing with Quinn Hughes, but when he dropped to the bottom pairing, you only give so many minutes to them, right? So you're like, oh, we'll give him maybe 12 minutes. And that's going to take its toll. And I think right now, again, it's 4 games. I'm going to get the caveat out of the way. I'm not saying this is locked in forever, but you're watching this and you're like, oh, like, just getting big guys in the back end isn't like, that wasn't Zadorov's major skill set to me. It was like his ability to move the puck was the big thing for him.
Yeah, which they're having probably the most problem with
right
back there.
Yeah, 100%. And Ian Cole, to me, like, he was not the most, you know, quickest skater. But he was like you. He knew the right pass to make.
I love Ian Cole. Yeah.
Maybe not, but he knew what he was doing,
yeah.
And like, you trust him. He got beat up by the end of the season. I think they played him too much. Like, even I think we're his new team now, they played him 21 minutes tonight. Because when you see him, you're like, oh, this guy's a smart guy. I want to play him. But he's an older guy now. He's getting beat up. So I don't think he was like a long-term solution, but you definitely see the fact that the Canucks have moved on from Zadorov and Cole. Like, you're seeing the effects of that by having like a bottom pairing that you just can't quite trust right now.
Yeah, the Zadorov thing. With him moving on and a lot of people still wanting him here, even with money in term, and now it's kind of been trickling out over the last week or so.
His agent's doing the work.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, they offer four and at the draft, blah, 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 at deadline. And, you know, he felt disrespected by it. This is the worst possible thing for, I guess, the Zadorov truthers, is the fact that the defense has struggled as it has out of the gate. And, I mean, you seem to have a level enough head to be like, well, you know, Zadorov wasn't the greatest, but the guy could move the puck, and that's where the problems are. But there are other folks who don't look that deeply going, fuck, man, if we would have kept Zadorov, we'd be laughing right now. I mean, yes, it is only 4 games, soon to be 5, but early season problems are right there. That rivalry with the Oilers, that's going strong. Who could have the shittier start to the season?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, it was like these guys kind of battling for the division, but they were struggling out of the gate. And I mean, that's the thing with Edmonton, is funny because they kind of, both teams kind of made the changes where like Edmonton even moved even further away defensively. Like, they're like, oh, let's just add more scoring. And it's like, okay, I mean, that's 80s style. Let's hope Jeff Skinner goes Grant Fuhr mode and makes the last save in like a 9-8 win. But I think both, and you also have to take into account that like, that's a long playoff run and it's hard to kind of bounce back the next season. I think Edmonton will be fine. I honestly think Vancouver will be fine too. I don't think they'll have maybe as good a season as last year because they did have a lot of things go the way early on. But I do think if the Canucks want to kind of be like, hey, maybe we should see if we can have like a second round, third round run this year, they're going to need to address the defense because if you're saying to me, you know, Darnay and Forbert are guys going into the playoffs and that bottom pairing, I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, that's a rough one.
I laughed at Edmonton for having Darnay in the playoffs like last year. I thought he was ass. And they drew him in, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be, good.
Right? And that's the thing. About, like, the thing about Zadorov that, like, is so tantalizing. It's like that World Juniors thing. You see a guy go out and crush the World Juniors. It's a small sample size. Easy to fall in love with that. But what Zadorov did in the playoffs, that we talked about, like, to end, is that he did something that, like, not a lot of people have brought to this team in many years. Like, he had the size, he had the swagger, he had big moments. You know, could he recreate that this year? You can't guarantee it, but, like, you just like the fact that you have a guy that can do that, right? That's a bit of, like, you know what? Maybe Zadorov can have another run like that. You're never going to look at Darnay and be like, maybe he's going to have the run. Never, right? Like,
he's going to have a great period.
Yeah.
He's going to play lights out in the second period at some point in February, right before the All-Star break, trying to crack that roster.
Other guys are coasting in. That's his time to shine.
That's right. Like, yeah, everyone else is coasting, taking it easy. And but also keep in mind, there still is Demko to return from his mysterious Thatcher Demko syndrome that he came down with. Why him, right? Can't believe it. And then Dakota Joshua also still out. So there's minor reinforcements.
Well, I mean, the forward lines, we'll go into that now. We'll segue into the forward lines.
Let's do it.
Yeah, like they like, I'm really intrigued by the forward set. Like you said, Dakota Joshua's not even here yet. I am super intrigued now because we've seen four games and we've kind of seen like Pettersson, and that was it. Maybe like Jake, I call him Louis DeBrusque, good lord. Jake DeBrusque is in the lineup, the good DeBrusque. And you're like, okay, like Pettersson finally's got a linemate he can work with. And the chemistry just hasn't been there yet. So you're like, okay, and give him time. But then last game, you know, they go with someone on Twitter called the Energizer Bunnies, Garland and Hoglander with Pettersson. And I saw enough there to want to see it again. I'm like, that's cool. Like, they seem to do well. Like, Pettersson is right now, for whatever reason, his power game isn't there and his shot isn't there, but he's still a really good playmaker. So, you know, maybe they can just create enough room to get some shots off. Garland can shoot when he wants. So let's just see what happens. And Hoglander, we know, is a really good shot, but maybe he just can't get off quick enough. Pettersson will give him time and space. All right, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
It was when they put DeBrusque on that top line where you were like, wait a minute, like they might have something here. Because Miller and Besser are both very smart players. They know each other very well. And they tend to kind of put that Phil DiGiuseppe player with them, like Archdeep Baines. That grinder who goes out, he knows what he's doing. He's not going to like let you down defensively, but he's not going to score a lot of goals, but he's just there. He's just kind of dependable.
And you're putting him with shooters.
Yeah.
Miller and Besser are not afraid to shoot the puck, and they got good shots. So if you're going to get a grinder to get a turnover, all he really needs to do is be able to go it, you know, have it go the other way and facilitate and get the puck to the shooters.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, so I get the philosophy, and I'm sure Miller is on board with it and telling them this who I want to play with. But when they had Jake DeBrusque with them, like, and I hate using comparisons because people are like, that's not the kind of player he is. That's their exact voice they use. It's like, come on. I will say that.
I know that guy.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He's on the bus all the time yelling at me. He does have a bit of his game that reminds me of Todd Bertuzzi. Not as skilled, not as big, but that ability to come in with speed and a bit of size and weight to him that you kind of have to like, you're like, oh, I got a problem here as a defenseman. Like, I got to take care of this freight train coming in. And you back off a bit. So he has enough skill that like, I'm recording, that when Jake comes in, and he just like Todd behind him, like he comes out with enough speed and weight, like defense have to try and take care of that problem. That creates space because now you're backing off. You can't, if you try and steal the puck from Jake, he has enough skill to make a little. We've seen that he'd come in with speed, it wasn't the fastest, but once he picks up speed, he's got fucking momentum, and then he has enough skill to like dangle around a guy. So you can't just like run at him, you can't try and hit him, he's fast enough, and that creates room for Miller and Besser. And he's Jake's also a decent passer too, he's also good at tipping the puck. So I think like his skill set just to bring that speed, because Besser, not the fastest skater in the world, we know that. Miller can go fast, but he's getting older. He's not a speed demon.
And he saves it for when he needs it.
Yeah, like
right?
He goes
in
bursts.
He's not just going to be going balls out in the first period or whatever. Like, he's going to wait for his moments to
exactly
use it. Yeah.
Pick his spots, right? But Jake, if he has, like, you know, four or five rushes of those a game, that's going to be that. I love it. So I honestly want them. I know they've been hesitant to load up a top line before, but I want them to load up that top line for a bit and see what they can do.
Because you get enough skill distributed through the remaining three lines.
Oh, especially with Dakota Joshua comes back. Like, I think they've got good enough forward depth to get away with that. And sure, mix it up if it's not working, but like, I think they should see what's there right now and just kind of see what they've got. Because that, again, short, small sample size, but that was fun to watch, man.
The arrogance that first period or two against Calgary in the opener on October 9th. I was the Canucks are going to be a prob. They look so good, just kicking their asses. Yeah. And then it all fell apart. It was like, what was it, Mighty Ducks 3? Were they up like 9-0 or like 9-1 and then they tied?
the arrogance, the hubris got to them. Yeah, I mean, I think they admit it too. Like, they were still in summer hockey mode where the power play was working. Everything felt great.
Great. All the passes. I was so impressed for the start of that game. They opened up so well. I was psyched.
And then Calgary's like, okay, let's just work hard. And then Vancouver's like, whoa, hold on. What are we doing here?
Hey,
like,
whoa, hard work.
Yeah. We all got to work in the morning. What are we doing here?
They cheered it for the guy that hurt our guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, I kind of see how this season starting how last season I thought was going to start, where the team was going to struggle to find its identity and kind of get into the zone. And I think they had a bit of luck on their side last year and everything caught fire and teams didn't, think highly of the Canucks, so they didn't really bring their A game. But now people are more prepared for the Canucks. You look at the Canucks, it's not an easy out. People are like, well, we've got to play a tight game.
Division champion, baby.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's
we got
no
banner.
Joke.
We got a banner.
That's a second round team right there. So yep. they're
and this show loves second round teams.
Yeah, that's our jam, right? Like, yeah. That's the Sixers philosophy. So, again, like, I'm it's early into the season, but I've been worried about the defense, but I'm also super intrigued by the forward depth. And, like you said, Dakota Joshua coming back will be a nice, huge addition to that lineup.
And another thing that doesn't make me that worried at all is the fact that I trust the front office. I trust Alvin and Rutherford to go out and address the gaps like they did last season. They made, I think, the most moves in season prior to the trade deadline of any president or general manager pair. Am I accurate in that? Let's just pretend I am.
We're always right. Yeah.
Yeah, done. So, again, exposing some weaknesses, sure thing. Maybe they need to pick up another defenseman. I trust that they are going to get it. Imagine if it was, we're not talking about the old general manager or anything here, but we were just sentenced to just dog shit. And knowing that the improvement wouldn't come, that's not the era we're in now. So that gives me hope and optimism. I'm not worried or anything at all.
I will say that I like the players they targeted last year in season. I like better than the ones they did in the offseason. Like, I'm not a huge fan of who brought the defense. I think, Lindholm, especially in Boston, like, that was the worst, like, secret in the world. Like, even before they got him, like, he's probably going to be in Boston. Like, everyone knew that was going to happen. So tell me there's not tampering going on, whatever.
Yeah.
But he was injured in his time with Vancouver as well, so we never saw the best of him. But he was still a very good defensive player. I do think they're going to miss him in the lineup because I think, especially in the playoffs, he was a very smart player. And JT Miller talked about that, how smart he was and cerebral. So they've lost the cerebral assassin, so I think they got to find some way to figure, recreate that kind of ability to play a 200-foot game for the team. Because Daniel Sprong, who I think can be a good addition to this team, he's having the exact same Kuzmenko lifestyle.
Yeah.
Where, like, he doesn't pick up his guy correctly, and then, like, Tocca, you can tell, fucking hates it.
Yeah, oh,
like,
yeah. Oh,
he just
yeah.
can't stand it. Because it's two games now that Sprong's been benched. Again, that's at least a low-value bet, right? Or a high-value bet. You got a guy in for really cheap. It wasn't like Kuzmenko's big deal. Like, if Sprong doesn't work, oh, well.
Yeah.
But I do think it behooves them to try and see if they can figure out how to work on the lineup, because they still need a bit of offense in there. But they have a bunch of intriguing parts. And like you said, I think if any front office is going to pivot and kind of give what this team needs, it would be the Canucks. They'll find a way to kind of add. Because they're going to come out and say they're, like, in it to fully win it now. But they, like, wink and nod. They want to make a big run this year and next year. Like, their window in their head is now.
And they've seen the blueprint. They've seen that it's possible. And it's possible with the majority of players they currently have. And, the odds of running that exact same team back were zero. You're not going to be able to afford and sign all those guys. But, all right. So we got Philadelphia on tap. Then the Blackhawks on Tuesday the 22nd. And then they come back home against some Eastern Conference teams. Penguins 26th, Hurricanes 28th, Devils on the 30th to close out October. So where do you see them at the end of October, knowing these are the teams they got coming down the pipe?
I think they're going to maybe lose one game. I think they're going to get a bit of a run. And I think they're going to talk to locked in of a coach to let this team get too sloppy. Like, even the Florida win, there's a bit more sloppiness than we're used to, but I think he's going to get him dialed in. It's, again, I think last season's start kind of made it seem like it was that's the thing that can happen all the time. They had a lot of things go their way. But I do think they're going to get their shit together, and it's going to be an okay October.
Yep, same. And then the collision course is set. A lot of things happening on November 9th. What is it about NEW shows and Canucks versus Oilers where they just are intrinsically matched?
I wish I knew.
Yeah, so that's the kind of big one everyone's got circled on their calendars. November 9th against the Edmonton Oilers. Oof, and then a rematch against the Calgary Flames a couple days after that. So, but that Edmonton game, that's going to be interesting because we'll see where Edmonton is at that point, because Edmonton got off to a real shitty start. They got blown out, 6-0 from the Jets on, like, opening night. It was glorious. I have carried over my Oilers hatred a deep-seated hatred that just started in the playoffs. I've carried that over to the regular season. I hate those fucking guys.
It's the next Vancouver-Chicago rivalry for this city. I think there's going to be no shortage of bad blood. That's where I will miss Zadora Swagger, because like Teddy Bluger had a fight last game, and it was cute.
It was adorable.
It was adorable, right? Yeah. But then they're hugging after the game and stuff. Zadorov's the kind of guy who fights you and then cuts a promo on you after the game. And I like that energy against Edmonton. So I'm going to miss that. Like, Darren A, if he fights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If Darren A has a fight, he's going to just like give us a generic quote after the game. I want a guy making fun of their living conditions in Edmonton. That's what we need for us.
Yes. They should be attacking the fans more and their lifestyle more.
Exactly.
Let's really get it going. Get it? Yeah. I'll absolutely miss that from Zadorov as well. But, I kind of feel like all these games that are happening now and the games happening between now and the ninth are just kind of like, all right, tune up, get it figured out, and then we're going to see what Canucks team we're really dealing with when they go into that game in Edmonton, because you can't imagine that they're going to treat that one just like any other game. That's a statement game, absolutely, and probably one of the bigger regular season statement games for this team in the last decade.
That is, dare I say it, the biggest game eight since 2012.
Yes. Yep. Game eight V2.
Yep.
Let's go.
We need Cody Hodson. Can they sign Cody Hodson for one game?
One day. You're running around signing Edler for a day. Edler never went bar down against the Bruins off the wing. Bring in Cody. Yeah. What'd you think about Alex Edler Day? No Ring of Honor, no...
He's a floorboard of glory, number one guy for me. He's such a floorboard of glory. Like, he never... Like, he was so, like, kind of reserved and didn't make a big deal or anything and had such a reliable kind of, like... I don't want to say boring, but was a kind of vanilla career. Like,
yeah.
And not to dig down, because, like, when you see them struggling with the Hernia, you're like, oh, man, imagine having a guy who could run 25 minutes like Edler used to. Like, I don't think he got enough credit, but I also know that, like, in terms of, like, fan passion and getting, like, an emotional connection, he never quite had that.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, like, he came up with, like, he was, like, on a team full of personalities, right? Like, it's tough to kind of stand out when you got Kevin Bieksa, like, winning over the world and shit, right? Like, fucking throwing helmets at people. And you got Alex Edler just trying to do his crocheting on the bench. It's just hard.
Winning the green jacket that year for the worst plus minus.
Right?
Yeah. What a legend.
So I think that kind of, like, didn't help him. But, like, you know, it's good to recognize him. I'm glad he came back. But then he's like, yeah, I'm going to live in L.A. now. And it's like, well, you know what?
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Louvet's over here. Dave Babich are making commercials for Save-On Foods. Come on.
Kirk McLean's just milling about. Yeah. You can't turn around without running into Cliff Ronan back there.
Yeah, Kirk's having some beers in the concourse. And then Alex Edler's like, oh, see you in Hollywood. Like, what are we?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to L.A. See ya. Thanks for this. Off he goes. All right. That's fine. That's fine. Anything else NHL-wise you wanted to get into before we move? Talk a little football?
Let's just get into football, yeah.
All right, let's do it. All right, I remember talking with great excitement about how the Buffalo Bills were going to put the Ravens at 0-3 and end their hopes and dreams, and NFL is just such a wild animal where things are so different week to week to week. But where it stands right now, are you liking where the Bills are at? You have been feeling okay about it.
I've been banging the drum to get Amari Cooper this entire season. Devontae Adams wouldn't have worked for the money. It would have taken would not have worked. It was not a good contractual situation for the Bills. Cooper is perfect because they need a receiver that can actually be a deep threat. Because our boy MVS, God bless him,
Marquez, heartbroken.
I'm so proud that he at least gave me the ability to buy a Bills jersey with his name on it, and it'll be proper, and it'll be like, hey, you can't make fun of that. That actually,
it's real. Yeah. He played.
Yep, this happened.
He was there.
But they need a deep threat. Like, their receivers, it was fun for the first three games. Like, hey, by committee, it works. But anytime someone says, like, offense by committee, that's them saying, like, we don't have good enough players. But that's the underlying theme.
Yeah.
It is. It's like, yeah, offense by committee.
We don't have any game breakers.
Yeah.
We just have to hope this guy gets open this play. This guy breaks out a run this play.
Yeah.
Hope for the best.
Yeah. So I think they, like, I won't go too deep into the strategy, but they just needed a receiver that could get open and create distance from, you know, and no one else really could in the team. Like, Keon Coleman, God bless him, bit of a slow fella. He can't create separation to save his life. Cooper, I like him from the Dallas days. He can run. I can't imagine anyone's happier than him to get away from. I think the stat was he leads the league in off-target yardage because Deshaun Watson can't throw the ball or shit. So, like, he leads the league in, like, bad throws receiving.
It is awful to watch. Little inside scoff. So in our football pool that we do, where we pick teams for the year, I controversially opted against the Steelers and chose the Browns instead because of Mr. Unlimited Russell Wilson.
Yep.
I fucking hate Russell Wilson. I'm like, oh, he's going to – the defense is good. Defense is awesome, but Russell Wilson is going to put them in a hole. He's washed. He sucks. So I stayed away. And then Wilson's injured. They start Justin Fields, go to 4-2. I liked Justin Fields. I wanted Justin Fields to be the starter from fucking day one.
Yep.
So I was thrilled watching that. And then now they are benching Justin Fields and starting Mr. Unlimited against the Jets on Sunday night. The Jets just got some reinforcements. They they reunited Rodgers and Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers running that team like a fucking dictator. He can say all
crazy.
The things he wants. Well, I had nothing to do with that. I didn't have anything to do with the coach being fired. I don't know. This is LeBron James running the Lakers style shit if I've ever seen it, man.
You're not telling me that when Rodgers threw that interception against Buffalo, which fantastic interception from Buffalo, and they had him staring that 1,000-yard stare on the bench, and he wasn't thinking, I'm getting fucking Devontae. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't 100%. Give a shit. You get me
probably,
Devontae.
He's texting right there. He's panned down a little bit. He's like, you in, bro?
Yep. Got the coach fired. I had nothing to do with that. Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
Yeah. But the Browns, I thought, okay, well, they got blah, blah, blah. Okay. And watching Deshaun Watson play football is like awful, but it's also great because fuck that guy.
He deserves it, but the city didn't. That's what sucks about
That's what really sucks. And you're seeing Baker Mayfield fucking light it up with a career resurgence in Tampa Bay and just going, oh, you fucking, you had it. And there was, you feel bad for Cleveland. And they can't walk away from him.
No.
Because they're paying him $240 fucking million. Dollars. It's so crazy. And they have to go out and say, he still gives us the best chance to win. It's like, Joe Flacco came in last year and got your asses to the playoffs. Joe Flacco's coming in this year, getting the Colts to the playoffs. Although they're now benching him for Anthony Richardson. It's like, oh, unbelievable. Fucking, can the Browns trade for Flacco again? Unreal. So,
bring in Andy Dalton. He's doing things.
Yeah, he is. So Amari Cooper's free. He's in Buffalo. Devontae Adams is free. Another major thing that happened recently last week, my work group chat started going crazy about Aiden Hutchinson. And his leg.
Yeah, that was Anderson Silva style.
People seeing replays and all that stuff, and I wasn't gonna watch it, but then I couldn't help myself, and there were two instances on that replay. One was the initial point of contact, where you see his leg essentially bend around the other leg, like Anderson Silva, and then the other one was when he falls on his back, and you see the bottom part of his shin and his foot just kind of flop around as though attached by a pantyhose full of meat. Gross.
What is worse is like when Chris Weidman broke his leg, like he took a step backwards not realizing his foot was broken and like nothing to stand on.
Gruesome.
Like he didn't know yet and he tried to take a step back, all of a sudden he was falling. And it's like, what was going through your brain for that 1 second? You're like, why am I falling before?
It's like when you're on the chitter for too long and your feet fall asleep or whatever, and you get up and you're trying to walk. Like, oh my God, I don't know if that just maybe is me, but I'd like to take my time, man. That's where I do most of my reading. But it was awful, and that's Dan Campbell's been like, oh, we're next man up. We're fine. But
by committee.
By committee, next man up. They got to get somebody. They got to realize that they've got offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators who had head coaching opportunities that were there.
I wanted Ben Johnson on the Bills back.
Yes, and chose to stay because they have unfinished business. I don't care what it takes. If you're the Detroit Lions, you go get Max Crosby if that's what it's going to take. You go get that edge rusher because – I think Dan Campbell came out a day or two afterwards like, hey, we're not saying that Hutchinson isn't going to be back this year. But dude, his leg was in multiple different directions. I think we could rule it out. It'll be interesting if he ever plays again.
Yeah, I think that the online doctors were saying if there's no ligament damage, that's the best case scenario. And maybe he does come back. But I can't imagine he's coming back and he's feeling good. Anyone who comes back from a big injury, you just don't trust your body yet. Like, it's hard to imagine him coming back at the level he's at right now.
No.
That they wouldn't want from him, right? So you gotta find a way to replace that.
And he's running that defense. What is he, leading the NFL in sacks, leading the NFL in, hurries and pressures and stuff? Like, he is an absolute game breaker back there. And the defense is built around having that edge rusher. So you got to get somebody. I feel if they don't go out and get somebody, the Detroit Lions, then that's one of the biggest missteps I've seen in many, many years in watching the NFL.
They got to win his Super Bowl. Eminem needs that Super Bowl.
He needs it. He's going to be a grandpa. That's fucked up. He's like 50, right? 52. That's messed up. He's all that stuff. He looks great though. I would say.
Yeah. He looks good though.
He looks good. And of course, here we are sitting at this stage in the NFL season when we're heading into week 7, and as we all thought, as we all predicted, the 2-5-0 undefeated teams are the Kansas City Chiefs and the Minnesota Vikings. Your Minnesota Vikings, Wyatt, had the foresight to pick them in the 4th round of the pool. And we're just excited to just lock in with Sam Darnold. You believed in Sam Darnold. Every time I'm reading any, you know, MVP chatter and, oh, Sam Darnold's atop the MVP, I immediately go back to our draft in early September and you saying, Darnold's going to ball out.
Yeah, I
He's
believe
this. Show everyone how wrong they were. And everyone kind of laughing you off. But in case you're wondering, did anyone see that coming? Did anyone know? As much as I hate to give you credit for it, the stanchion knew.
I mean, I was incorrect on Will Levis.
Oh, yeah.
One for two.
Oh, yeah. So you got back-to-back picks, and you went with Tennessee and Will Levis and
I was like, one of these Mayo quarterbacks is going to go big.
Yeah. It was like back in the day, I remember I was watching the preseason, and I saw two second-string quarterbacks come in and play, and I said, these guys are going to be special. One of those quarterbacks was Tony Romo.
Yeah.
The other quarterback was Tarvaris Jackson.
Yeah.
He's a right-handed Michael Vick. Look how fucking fast he is. These guys are going to be superstars in the NFL. I guess I was not right at all, but no, I was Romo's more right fun, about but Romo. Yeah. But yeah, Will Levis, the meme machine.
Yeah, I think I got suckered in by the meme and like a Mayo Cologne. How do I not want to draft that guy? That's very much a boy guy for me.
Yeah.
And I bought into the hype a bit. Not that great, but the Vikings have been a lot of fun to watch. It's been a fun season so far. Like I really enjoy football now that I write about hockey and can't like love hockey the way I used to. So football is my escape sport.
Yeah. What are the other teams you have? You've got
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, okay. We won't.
Good.
Yeah, we won't talk about it at all.
I won't talk about my first pick. I won't talk about it.
Yeah, but it's a really, really close pool. I think you're currently sitting at, you're in 4th place.
I'll take it, considering I've got fucking the Bengals shit in the bed everywhere.
Yeah, the Bengals are one of the teams he has. I wasn't going to say it, but you said it. We'll talk about it.
Fuck.
And then your other team with one of the most camera, I was going to say camera hungry, but camera not friendly. People like to put the camera on him, the owner. Of this team. I find it absolutely delicious when they get shelled at home, which always happens.
On his birthday,
threatening to fire radio hosts who cover the team. I don't know if you saw that.
Did that happen? Are you kidding me?
Look it up. Yeah, he was talking about, in like an indirect sort of way, but he was, look at his comments when he was on the radio station because they had the Cowboys media rights. So, he was talking about getting other people in there to ask different questions and stuff. And Jerry Jones, man, losing his mind.
Truly amazed that they've not, they've managed to prevent him from firing the coach. I don't know how Mike McCarthy still has a job.
I have no idea either.
No fucking clue.
Yeah.
Like, one more loss, he's got to be fired, right? If they have a bad loss this week,
A bad loss at home.
Yeah.
Like, that's horrendous. So, what have they got? So, they have a bye in week 7. So, they got some time to figure it out.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And then they're playing, 49ers, Falcons, Eagles, Texans, and then my new boys, the Washington Commanders.
Oh, that's a team right there.
I'm psyched. That's not quite making up for the 1-5, having the 1-5 Browns, but goddamn, am I enjoying watching Commanders football.
Yeah, we drafted what's her name from the Commanders, the wide receiver?
Oh, Scary Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, he's been dynamite for us. I love that. Yeah
fucking Scary Terry. So.
Dallas is fucked, man. They're fucked. They're so fucked. Yeah. Like, how is he not? So the question is, because Jerry Jones is infamous hands-on owner, but he did, a couple years ago cry about wondering how did I fuck it up with Jimmy Johnson. So he knows that if it's a good coach you trust, you got to give him the reins. Does he go to the Bill Belichick well? Does he give enough control to Bill, or can he not do it?
I thought about that in the off season. If he would do
that. He loves big names, right? Like,
he does.
Like Bill Parcells. We're good. Yep. He had Bill Parcells back then, so I think he kind of reminds me of the Aquilini Rutherford thing, where if it's a big enough guy with enough clout, he might back off. But Jerry Jones is also a million times more intense than Aquilini is as an owner. So, does that happen?
Yeah, I thought about that. Could, and I wanted Belichick there so badly. I'm like, that won't, because it won't work.
Yeah, it won't work at all.
But it'll be a spectacular failure, and it's all about ratings. It's all about watching the. that's not there. So anything else in the NFL this year so far heading into week 7 surprise you? Bills sitting at 4-2. You got to be liking that. And
no, I still enjoy watching Kirk Cousins play football. The guy's just a gunslinger to the end of time.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter. Goes out, throws his 500 yards. Like,
I'm into it too.
Yeah, that makes me happy. The fact that the red rifle Andy Dalton came out and just fucking won a game by himself, throwing 300 yards out of nowhere.
So funny.
Fucking Joe Flacco. Like,
we got to pick him up. We got to start him. We don't have any opportunities to do this. We got to do this. Okay, fine. We'll do it. We'll bench Caleb Williams. And then Buddy went off for like 35 fantasy points. Andy Dalton just coming off of the couch.
He helped us get through because now Caleb Williams is starting to take off. Like, he got us through the rough patch. Now, yep. Kelly Williams is fine.
Cole Kmet's putting up points. We're like, okay, yeah, the Bears are coming alive right on. But we needed that little detour down Dalton Street.
Right, exactly. One more win for us. That was sad news. Fucking our boy Jay Cutler pulled over for DUI and had a gunshot. What are we doing, Jay?
Jay, come on.
We can't hopefully support you if you're committing crimes.
I saw somebody post something. It said, this isn't the first time a good drive has been derailed by Jay Cutler.
Oh, no.
Something like that, right?
It's true,
a good drive has been derailed by a bad Jay Cutler decision.
Oh, no.
It's like, that's hilarious, but also, fucking, come on, Jay. Yeah. Go back to smoking, Jay. Not drinking and driving, Jay.
Yeah, casual cool Jay that's having a cig.
Smoking Jay Cutler, cool. Drinking and driving Jay Cutler, asshole.
Can't support that.
Can't support that at all. Oh, all right, maybe a little sixes?
Yep.
A little brief sixes? Okay, cool. Here we go. All right, the NBA season has not yet begun, but there's been no shortage of Philadelphia 76ers drama and injury scares. And yeah, so Paul George wasn't that excited to get him, has kind of convinced myself that, okay, this will be all right. He's not going to be counted on to be the same Paul George he was previously in his career. He's the third option. I like that for Paul George to be okay. Had a MRI on a knee, just a bone bruise or whatever from the other night, but it was a scary moment where
like inverted,
fuck.
Like it looked
it looked bad.
Yeah,
it looked really bad, but okay, we're good. Embiid hasn't been playing really in the preseason because he's got mysterious ankle injury that he's kind of resting up, but that's Embiid's focus this year. He's come out and said, didn't give a shit about all NBA or MVP or any personal accolades. It's about the title. It's good approach. And I think Maxey left the game tonight, the preseason game, with, I think it was something with his pinky or something, just as a precaution, he'll be fine. So fucking settle down, boys. Let's come into the season fully healthy, because the East is still going to be a problem with the Celtics, the Knicks out there making noise. Like, it's not going to be easy for the Sixers this year.
No, and this is, like we've talked about, the most exciting kind of season in a while, because as much as maybe George doesn't float your boat, I think we can all agree that his skill set really fits in well with the team. Like, it just feels like they've got, like, with Maxey and Embiid and George, they all complement each other. And watching in the preseason, like, I didn't watch a ton, but watching it, like, seeing George hit threes and knowing that Embiid can hit threes and Maxey can hit threes, like, they're all a deep threat. And you've got the down low game now from George and Embiid. And, you know, Drummond, our boy Drummond's back for rebounding. Like, it just feels like they've got, like, such a good paper team right now.
Yeah, he's a rebounding machine. And then Jared McCain, their draft pick, Mr. TikTok, who has been playing well, he suffered a fucking lung contusion or something the other night where they had to take him to the hospital. So again, fucking calm down. Pulmonary contusion. So the guy fucking bruised his heart.
Kelly Oubre, do not ride any bikes.
Do not ride any bikes, Kelly Oubre. Take his bike wheels away. Lock up all of his bikes.
Yeah, if you see a Lime bike on the side, don't rent it. Just stay out of the way.
I was reading an article on The Score. I think the headline was like, Oubre planning on taking many roles with the Sixers. I'm like, okay, well, I hope, you know, he's healthy enough to do it. He doesn't ride any bikes or anything like that, because he was fucking rock solid last year, one of the best picks, and he decided to stay.
Yep.
Took a team-friendly discount. Love that shit. So, yeah, but I think everybody's just having a turn getting injured.
Get out of the way early. That's fine.
Yeah, fine with it. Fine with it. So, yeah. And again, Embiid, he won his MVP, as far as I'm concerned. And he was on tap to win his second MVP last year. He was having a better season before their bullshit 60-game cutoff rule. And he's forcing it and stuff. And that just derailed the team, absolutely. But, yeah, an exciting year of 76ers basketball awaits. And I just hope it works out well. How about, yeah.
Again, we're still, maybe Ben Simmons gets traded at the deadline. They bring him back in.
I saw he was. They had a preseason game against Brooklyn in Philly the other day, and it was Ben Simmons will not be playing.
Of course, yeah,
of course he won't be. But I'm still hoping. Wyatt, I wear my Ben Simmons 2018 Rookie of the Year t-shirt. That is my post-hockey game shirt.
Nice.
Play hockey, finish, shower, and then that's the shirt that I wear after my hockey games, is that it is worn out and beaten to shit, and I started wearing it after hockey because I kind of didn't care anymore because fuck that guy a little bit. But I tell you now, when I put on that shirt, I think, we could do this. He can come back.
A Marvel episode of What If.
Yeah. What if Ben Simmons just fucking dunked it? Yeah. Just dunked it. What if Ben Simmons dunked over Trae Young?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
yes,
all
that
do.
Trae Young, that little fucking goblin baby.
Who didn't even bother defending him because he knew he couldn't, yet he still passed out of it.
God damn it. It's still just, it's haunting. It was years ago, but it's still haunting. Yep. But the redemption is right there for him, man. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then, I don't know, any thoughts on Bronny James?
I mean, that is what it is. Like,
what
that's
a fucking,
I mean,
side
that's
show that is. I'm so mad that this is Redick's first coaching assignment. I was ready to follow him to whatever team he was going to coach and be a, I guess, not secondary, but a third fan of that team and support him. But not the Lakers, dude. Not the LeBron Lakers.
Not the Nepo Baby situation there. Yeah. Like, I get it, but it's also, I just want to see him lose.
Yeah, me too. Give me J.J. Redick as coach of the Charlotte Hornets. I would have been so down
that
for that.
That would be dope, yeah.
Or the Houston Rockets, or the fucking, well, the Thunder are going to have a pretty awesome year this year.
Yeah, that would be fun to watch.
Thunder's going to be a problem for years to come, but yeah, no. When Redick, when he signed on to coach the Lakers, I was like, oh, God, gross. You know they're going to make a push for fucking Chris Paul at some point.
100%, yep.
Yeah. Well, can we get Steph here? Let's get Steph here. Oh, well, if I'm Chris Paul, I'm sitting pretty just fucking lobbing it to Wemby.
Oh, yeah.
In
that's,
San
that's,
Antonio.
You're pretty locked in there. Yep. Easy.
Dude, yeah. So exciting for another year of Sixers basketball. Both our teams are almost in their regular seasons, and hopefully the Sixers have not as slow a start as the Canucks do. So, all right, sir. Let's head into halftime here and then come back. We'll do a little Google, little Bing, little Captain's Corner, and then that'll be that.
On November 30th, for the first time ever in Vancouver, the War Games begin.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses.
Elijah! WWE Survivor Series War Games, Vancouver, Saturday, November 30th. Tickets until Friday, September 13th. But you can get the best seats in the house starting Thursday, September 12th with pre-sale password Survivor.
All right, we are back. It is hour two. Trust the process. Jay Bowman here with Wyatt Arndt, the stanchion. And Wyatt is the captain of this show. He's wearing a Buffalo Sabres jersey right now that's got a C on it. And it's got number 93. And it says, what's it say on the back?
Well, it says STAA. NCH, staunch. Yeah, staunch from in France. Yeah. Who is the staunch? That's German, I guess.
Yeah, what the fuck? Who's the staunch?
Too much Pitch Perfect, I guess. Das Sound Machine
was fucking robbed.
They got robbed. They got fucking robbed. They followed the rules. They were better singers. It was bullshit. I don't even get into it. That upsets me more than the Bengals because they
were
fucking
what?
Robbed.
That's another genuine agreement.
100%. Please, yeah. You know what? Lock it in. Let's keep the good vibes going. That is a genuine agreement about DOS Sound Machine getting robbed.
I mean, a lot of those Bellas weren't even officially part of the team.
They showed up out of nowhere. They're doing an original fucking song.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here? Fucking flashlights.
Like, they were pissing their pants every time they faced DOS Sound Machine because they couldn't. They knew they were.
And rightfully so. Yeah. DOS Sound Machine showed up every time. David Cross's riff off, dominating. Was it the fucking car show or whatever they did? Dominating. DOS Sound Machine didn't miss.
Nailed it. They're the true champions. It's Killmonger all over again.
He was my God. Fucking Killmonger. Yep. That's right.
The rightful king.
Yeah.
He followed your fucking rules.
Yeah, he did. That's right. Fucking. He died. It's over. Ugh. Now I'm all mad.
Yeah, I'll ride up.
All right, well, let's hit a little Captain's Corner. How about that?
Let's smash that button.
Let's do it. All right, Captain Stanch, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, we're going to do the Google game. I've got 14 of them here because you don't do that well at them. So every week, I'm going to see how well you do with these different categories.
You have 14 different categories?
I sure do.
Holy fuck.
We'll get into it. But they are, I want to let you know, they are up to date of searches from whatever month we're in now. So they're up to date searches.
Yep.
So you got to keep that in mind. But before we get into that, I need to warm you up, get your brain thinking.
Yep.
We're going to play a little quick game of Would You Rather.
Okay.
All right. So the first one, would you rather always have a mullet haircut or a ponytail haircut? Taking account of everything. You got to go to work.
Yep.
You got to go out to dinner. You got to hang out. You got the girl. You got to play hockey.
I have a question.
Yes.
When I shower, does it stay as a ponytail at all times? Like I swim and it's a ponytail? Or if it's wet or whatever, does it come out of the ponytail?
No, I think it has to stay that. Like you wish it in well. I want to have glorious hair. And it's like, well, you can never change it. So it's stuck in that.
I am a confident bald man, so I will never. And I just recently started doing the bicking, shaving it proper.
Let's just say you wanted some flair and you wished it for a lark, you wished in a well and you got this haircut.
Okay.
You're still a proud bald man, but just in case you just threw in a penny or were
joking
around.
I'm going to go ponytail.
Ponytail? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go ponytail. Although that may be really tough with hats. Oh, I have so many nice hats. I've switched it to mullet.
Okay.
For mullet? The hats.
Okay. Would you always rather have bad gas or always have a really dry mouth?
Bad gas. Oh, no. Wait a minute. <That's>
like you're drinking water. It does not make that go away.
Oh, that impacts my talking.
Yep.
Bad gas makes it rough. I'm going bad gas. That's everybody else's problem. Yeah, that's not mine.
What can you do?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I'm
that's like bad like gas. Go back and throw back to when you like if you had to like you know shit yourself on the SkyTrain. You just announced it to the SkyTrain. I've got a condition.
Everybody, just a heads up. I didn't plan on this. It was an accident, but I have shit myself.
Yep.
I am sorry. I am as embarrassed as I am sorry, but I want to give you this opportunity to change trains.
Would you rather have a time machine or a teleporter?
Okay. Well, that brings about all sorts of
philosophical.
It does.
It's a very deep question.
It is. But I can also go forward in time.
Yep. Mm. But there's a lot of responsibility if you fuck up time in the past. Like that's
And I would definitely fuck up time in the past. I would like, I'll probably go teleporter.
I feel that's a safer bet. Yeah, he's going to work right away.
I'm like, boom, I'm in Greece. Yep. What of it?
Go to translate. Don't need this anymore. Hand in your compass card.
I caught it up in front of them.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
They look at you, time travel. Yep. Sorry, teleporting.
Yep. Boom, stadium, SkyTrain station in an instant.
All right, next one. Would you rather have to speak in rhyme for the rest of your life or have to speak in riddles for the rest of your life?
Oh, now we're talking.
So you got a customer at your work. They're coming up. They're complaining to you, and you got to settle a dispute. Would you rather be speaking them in rhyme
first, or riddles?
Which one's going to frustrate them more?
In order to settle this dispute, you must first answer me these questions three. Question the first. God. Well, I think the rhyming has more applications because I would be an excellent rapper, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I wouldn't have to think. It just naturally happens.
Yeah, just it would just turn into rhymes. Your brain would convert it into a rhyme.
And riddles. Although, I feel like I'd be very mysterious and sexy if I spoke in just riddles.
Yeah.
Right? I'd have like a Matthew McConaughey True Detective Season 1 type thing going.
100%.
Time is a flat circle. It's like, what the fuck does that even mean? And also, I think if I'm speaking in riddles, that could masquerade itself as intelligence.
Yep. I have questions for you. I have three.
Yeah.
What? What flows in the wind but cannot be seen behind you? What?
Ooh, like that right there is like, oh, okay. But that would get really fucking annoying if I'm trying to have a conversation with someone over dinner.
Someone's asking what you want for dinner. You're like just riddling them.
Oh, Oh, hold on. That's the answer right there. It's going to be rhyming, because if I'm speaking in riddles, that means I can't directly express myself.
No. Yeah.
And I'm counting on the people around me to be able to decipher my riddles. It's like, yeah, what would you like to have for dinner? Oh, well, it clucks at midnight, but it doesn't. It's like, okay, is it chicken? Do you want chicken? It's like, I actually wanted turkey. Yeah, I'm going to go with rhyming.
I like it. Bit of a weird one here. Would you rather take care of the Beast from Beauty and the Beast for the rest of your life, or have Gaston as your boyfriend?
Oh, fucking. Well,
that's like caretaking the rest of your life. Like, he doesn't care. He doesn't convert over. I think they're presenting him as a sickly beast, not the one you see in Hollywood that they present him as. He's just a sad, angry beast.
Yeah, because the Beast was like, he was fine. He was just an asshole.
No, but like, he's going to be, I think he's a sickly beast.
Does it say he's a sickly beast?
No, but I'm going to say he is. I'm going
to
make
you
it.
You can't just fucking make up a backstory here and apply it to it.
If you can speak in riddles and rhymes, I can.
It's the Beast. He's got Alzheimer's and chronic gas.
Done. So that's what he's got. Would you rather
so
take
you
care
have
of
to take care of him?
Yeah.
What does it specifically say?
Well, it just says, would you rather take care of Beast?
Okay, so it says take care
life?
Of. So, yeah. Okay, I'm assuming that, yeah, there is some measure of effort on my part to make him
you
comfortable.
Can't just mail it in.
Pick up his poop and all
and,
that stuff.
And Gaston is your boyfriend. Doesn't have a time limit. You could have one fantastic. He looks like a good time for one night. He's got issues, clearly, that's but true. Like for one night, you could have a he good does. Time. No one sings a Gaston. No one hunts a Gaston. He's got a long list of attributes that I can pull out for you.
No one hits it and quits it like Gaston.
Yeah, see? Like, But you got the castle to beat. Like, you do have that fortune.
That
and
is,
you
I got
the
castle
cool friends up
and
there.
And the talking furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that keeps things light. They're singing songs about being a guest all the time.
Yep.
I could try the gray stuff. I hear it's delicious.
What if they sang that Be Our Guest every time Amazon dropped a package off?
The driver's just like, fuck, shut up. Now, it doesn't say how long the relationship
with Gaston
would be.
I'm going to put a limit, because that's too easy for you to hit it and quit it. I'm going to give it a year.
A year with Gaston?
Yeah. And that's going to get deep enough.
You know he's cheating on me.
Yeah. Like, he's at the bar every night.
So
he's not checking in.
So that's hurting my self-esteem.
Yep.
I'm going to take care of the Beast.
Okay.
Yep.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting a couple more here. Would you rather be physically stronger than most people or be able to fly?
I'm afraid of heights very badly.
So
and I don't think that
then.
Would go away.
No.
Although if I am able to fly, that means that I'm not going to fall. So that maybe takes away some of that fear of heights.
But is this like maybe you don't know that. What if it like you're always worried that flight's going to go away? Because that's unnatural for you to be flying.
Oh, yes.
The stress
of
being up there.
I would never fly more than 6 feet off the ground because that would always be in the back of my head. Like maybe this is just some genie wish or some trial that some, supernatural force has given me and I'm just going to be flying around. All of a sudden it's just gone and I'm dead. What was the other? Be stronger? I think stronger. I could do things with that.
Be good in hockey, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. One
Never
more,
lose
one
a board
more.
Battle again.
Let's see. Would you rather be a chicken for one day or a cow for one day?
I think a cow. Just chilling. Yeah. Chewing on some grass. Yeah.
And here's the last one. And I think this is pretty easy. Would you rather have a slow car or a fast bike?
Fast bike, baby. Fast bike. You got to be able to keep that PSD somehow. Fast bike. Oh, that's easy.
All right. So we're going to the Google game. For those who are not aware, I'm going to give you two categories or two subjects, and you have to tell me which one was Googled more.
Yep.
And your high scores have been pathetic, except for NFL, where you went you ripped 21 on a row off out of nowhere. Everything
was that
else,
actually the number? Was it 21?
Yeah, 21. You
unbelievable.
Fucking, you killed it. You've had like two as your height in the other ones. It's terrible. It's embarrassing. So the first one is the classic Google game where it's just two random subjects that have nothing to do with anything. And you got to figure it out. So, for example, I'll give you the first one. Ronaldinho or Estee Lauder. Let's try to make it fancy.
What's Ronaldinho?
It's a soccer player. Famous soccer player from Brazil, but not recently. So
I'm going with Estee Lauder. I probably fucked that up, didn't I?
So you would have lost. That's why you did it warm up. Yeah. So
it didn't feel good. All right. Hey, but I'm glad because I knew it right away. So if I could just tap into that instinct a little bit earlier, I think I'll be okay. I won't be, but I think I will be.
So here we go. Then this is probably the tougher version because it's just random subjects that have nothing to do with each other. Snowboard, Braveheart.
Okay, so snowboarding was then added into the Olympics. Ross Rabagotti smoking the weed, getting his gold medal taken away. That probably got a lot of attention. Although that was in like 98. What was the other one? Was Braveheart?
Yep.
That was like 95. I'm going to go with snowboard.
That was a tie. You get to keep going playing because it's a tie.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right.
Now it's snowboard again. Still there. Or the TV show Broadchurch. UK hit, but does it get its way over enough?
That's a good question.
Right? Like the world Googled that enough.
Who's in Broadchurch? Is that David Tennant?
Yep.
Broadchurch, baby.
And you're out. So you got a high score of one. Fuck! That game's done until next week. We'll go to another version of the Google game. So the classic edition, high score of one.
I was so confident. You can hear it in my voice.
I thought you had it.
I really want to be good at this.
Now it is religion. This is actually pretty funny, this one. The questions that were Googled was, when is Jesus coming versus who created God? That's an interesting one.
We have taken a left turn here.
Right turn, if we're...
So what was Googled more, when is Jesus coming or who created God?
Yeah.
When is Jesus coming?
And you're out already. So you're
no,
done.
Man.
That one is done. Zero.
If it's revealed after a year that you were just making this up arbitrarily, I'm going to snap.
It's not. It's actually here. I can show people. There we go. Back. This one is Cars. This is not the movie Cars. It's Cars in general. So, yeah.
Lightning McQueen. Done.
Genesis G80 versus a Ferrari S5.
SF90. I'm Ferrari because that's the only car I know. I don't know what a Genesis G80 is.
You got one. All right, you're on the board. You're on the board.
Build on it. I'm going to build on
Ferrari
it.
Ferrari versus the Chevrolet Blazer EV.
Ferrari.
Correct again. No one looks at the
Chevy. That's a racing team. Yep. Like, there's a lot to it. Yeah.
All right, the Chevy Blazer versus the Mazda MX-5 Miata.
Ooh. Chevy Blazer.
No, the Mazda destroyed it.
Fuck, I knew that was wrong when it left the hand.
All right, so there we go. 2 is your high score for that one. We'll come back to that next week. Next game is food.
Yep.
Mince pies versus a macaron.
Macaron.
Easily wins. No one wants to look at mince pies.
Yep.
Next one, macaron versus a red velvet cake. I will give you a number that might help. So macarons were Googled 800,000 times.
I'm going to keep going with macarons.
Yep. That one won. Yep. 2. This is a good day for you so far.
All right. Momentum.
Red velvet cake, which for the record, 450,000. Or macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese.
Right. I was going to look up a recipe for that. Even though it's easy, everyone looks it up, right? I would go with that.
Yeah.
Nope. We lose. Yeah, it's done. 2.
Hey, at least it was we lose this time.
Google says, oh no, seriously, stop playing. It does not believe in you.
Did it really?
Yeah, the score screen said, please stop playing.
No, it didn't.
I swear to God. It said, oh no, please stop playing. Mm. Okay. All right. Around the world. Bosnia or Lake Plesteris?
Bosnia.
Correct?
Yeah, shit went down there. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I know shit went down.
Bosnia or Cristo Rey?
Bosnia.
Correct again. Bosnia might just carry you down.
All right, Bosnia right to the top.
It's gone now. Aurora, like the Aurora Borealis, or Cristo Rey, which is that Jesus statue, I think.
Oh, Christ the Redeemer?
It's Cristo. It's Cristo.
It's
Cristo Rey. I don't know.
Spanish or Portuguese name is Cristo Rey. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with... Ooh. Everyone always flips out when Aurora Borealis is happening. They're all sharing pictures and stuff. But I'm going to go Christ the Redeemer.
Aurora, by far, by far. 2. Again, you've hit your 2. People at home can't see, but you're shaking your head looking down. These are hitting you.
I'm so sad.
All right, we're now on famous people.
Okay.
Demi Moore or Gene Wilder? Your high score in this game you've done before is 3.
Oh, shit. This is a battle. It's a real battle. So Gene Wilder died, so there's that. Demi Moore was in Striptease. And then she shaved her head for G.I. Jane. But then she's been relatively quiet. But it's not like Gene Wilder was setting the world on fire in the... I'm going to go... Oh, but his death, though. I'm going to go I'm going Gene Wilder.
Do you feel good about that one?
Not really, but...
Incorrect. He got destroyed. Yeah. Fuck. Zero. It's a rough day for you. All right.
I woke up feeling good today, you know?
Next one's video games. Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening versus Skies of Arcadia.
Oh, my God. Link's Awakening.
Correct. You're on the board.
Okay.
Now it's Legend of Zelda versus Gunstar Heroes.
Just Legend of Zelda, or is it the
same
Link's
one?
Awakening?
Link's Awakening. Sorry,
I don't know which one that is, but I'm going to go Link's Awakening is
correct.
Is again, yep. Yeah. All right, there's two.
Okay, you got two. This one should be an easy one. Gunstar Heroes or Nintendo?
Nintendo, baby.
Correct by far. That might run for a bit if it stays here. Nintendo versus Ash Ketchum from Pokemon fame. That's interesting.
Okay, well, yeah, it is interesting.
But Nintendo still.
There's also the cartoon Pokemon. It's kind of like when you have a receiver and your opponent in fantasy football has the quarterback, where they kind of, they're entwined.
Yeah, they're handcuffing each other here.
But the Nintendo so much outside of Pokemon. I'm going Nintendo.
Correct. All right.
Yeah. Who's
four.
This now?
You got four. Ash Ketchum versus Lara Croft.
Oh. Now we're also factoring in she's done some movies. Mm-hmm. Angelina Jolie and the whatnot. I'm going Ash Ketchum.
You're out. All right. You got four, though.
Am I really?
Yeah.
Lara Croft. Yep. No kidding.
Yep.
Huh.
All right. We're into music now.
All right.
Alicia Keys versus David Guetta.
Oh, Alicia Keys.
That's a tie. Tie goes to the runner. You're okay.
Sweet.
Avicii versus Alicia Keys.
Avicii.
Yeah.
It is, you know, death and stuff too. Yep.
Yep, that one. All right, two. Avicii versus Good Charlotte.
Avicii.
Correct. Trounced Good Charlotte. Good Charlotte versus Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
That's a layup. Yep. By far. It's probably another easy one here. Lady Gaga versus Dr. Dre.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, you're on a run here. Okay, Gaga's gone now. Dr. Dre versus Slipknot.
God. Slipknot fans just sit in their fucking basements just making their own mess and Googling them. I'm going Dr. Dre.
No, destroyed by Slipknot. You're right. Your instincts are there. You're thinking that. You're right.
They were right there. They were right there. Dr. Dre people aren't online reading up on Dr. Dre.
Five. All right. We got a couple more here.
Here we go.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Clapping for myself. That was not you. That was me clapping. Yeah.
This is Jay now. This is the Premier League.
Oh, Jesus.
Jurgen Klopp versus West Bromwich Albion.
Jurgen Klopp.
Correct. All right, you're up one. Jay's gonna be proud of you. You're up one.
Yep.
Jurgen Klopp versus Everton.
Everton.
Correct. All right.
Yes.
Wow. Jay's really proud of this one.
We're doing it.
Everton versus Mark Schwarzer.
Everton.
Correct. Mark Schwarzer versus Michael Owen.
I don't know who either of those gentlemen are.
Those are names.
Yeah, those are real people. Can we get Everton back in the mix? I liked when we had Everton. All right, so who are the people?
Michael Owen versus Mark Schwarzer.
And was Mark Schwarzer the person I just had to guess a bunch of times?
Yeah.
I'm going him then.
Yeah, Michael Owen was a bigger player, Canadian too. Michael Owen.
One, oh, really?
Yeah, you're out. Yep. You got three, though. That's not bad. I'll have to call things later.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
This is one's about Christmas. Ebenezer. Hold on. That's not rolled up properly. One second here. I'm going to reload that. You know, I'll save it for Christmas. Get away Christmas. All right. Movies. Jennifer Aniston, Christian Bale.
Okay. So there's a couple factors here. So one is Jennifer Aniston's Brad Pitt divorce and all that shenanigans. Friends, when that was on, for the most part, not big internet times. Now,
Batman,
the other person
got bail and got the,
I know,
the
but
tra-la-la
also,
law as well.
Yeah, that's, you know what that's going to be the factor is the tra-la-la-la-la.
Because
I just listened to that in its entirety apropos of nothing 3 days ago. It's incredible.
I read a thread about it.
You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy. But we're fucking done professionally, man.
Well, there's a red thread that said that that guy's known for just, like, doing that. Like, they were, like, defending Christian Bale, too.
Oh, no, yeah. That's the thing, is the people were on Christian Bale's side. I remember when that happened at the time, it was very, like, oh, Christian Bale's an asshole.
Yeah.
But people within the industry were like, no.
Yeah.
They were, people on set were loving it.
Yeah.
Because that guy does it all the time and did it all the time. Oh, I'm sitting here trying to focus on my scene, and you're walking behind Bryce. Fucking, we're done, man. We're done. Fucking unprofessional. Just based on tra-la-la-la, I'm going with Christian Bale just because of tra-la-la-la-la and Batman, and he's won Oscars and stuff. Bale, baby.
But what do sad men love most? Boobies. Jennifer Aniston wins.
Fuck off!
Crushed him.
Oh. Sitting here, walking behind Ross. Tra-la-la-la.
It's so good. I forgot how good that audio was. He just, like, and he won't let it go.
It was so good.
You're not just.
I'm just so glad that, like, it's deserved. Like, at the end, like, hey, like, obviously it'd be better if he had now, but, like, he wasn't just doing it as some random innocent guy. Some guy that's always just not good at his job. I'm like, you know what? There we go.
How the fuck would you feel? I start pulling down your lights.
Last game here. NFL, sir.
Okay.
21 was your high score.
Yep. Not going to hit that.
Troy Polamalu versus Doug Martin.
Troy Polamalu, baby. Fuck the muscle hamster. Polamalu's the best.
Yep, 100%.
One of my favorite players of all time, man. I love Polamalu.
Troy or the Baltimore Ravens?
Oh.
You got to choose Baltimore over your boy.
I kind of do when I'm mad. Baltimore.
It's the right move. It's a team. Yeah, they won easily.
Yeah,
Baltimore versus Fran Tarkenton.
Oh, fucking Vikings quarterback yeah. Before Sam Darnold, Fran Tarkenton.
The blueprint for Sam Darnold.
I'm going Baltimore.
Correct.
Yep.
Fran Tarkenton, Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Oh, I'm going Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, politically, all this stuff figure, he's got. Yeah, the vaccine. MVP, yeah,
I want it to be Fran Tarkenton because... Oh, Fran Tarkenton's a shit, but yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers now. This is a good one. Kansas City Chiefs.
Oof.
Winning team. You got a bunch of Taylor Swift stuff there. I'm going
Chiefs.
But Aaron Rodgers, yeah.
That is tough, but I'm going Chiefs, and yep. Whatever happens, I'm okay
they
with
won.
It.
Yep.
Yep.
Chiefs versus Adam Gase.
Oh, Chiefs. Yep.
Easy. Adam Gase versus Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Okay, you're on a run again. You're up to 7 right now.
I'm in my lane. I'm focusing on the teams here.
Jaguars versus Raiders.
Ooh. I'm going all the moves to L.A. and Oakland. And
it is
Vegas
listed
stuff.
Officially
I'm going,
as...
I'm going Raiders. They
I want you to know
move.
It's listed as Oakland Raiders, just in case you're aware. If that play a part
going,
in this.
Fuck it. I'm going Raiders. Their fans are psychopaths. The
black
hole.
Al they're looking at Las Vegas Raiders. That Oakland Raiders got like no searches.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yep.
No searches for Oakland
very low,
Raiders?
Like 90,000 compared to, like, Jacksonville.
So I lost.
Yeah, you lost.
What was the other number?
1.5 million for Jacksonville.
Fuck.
Dale.
Okay, well, I think...
People looked at Raiders probably, not Oakland Raiders. And
yeah, I think we can all come together and agree that as far as historically, the Raiders are far more interesting and should have had more.
Yeah, well, you lose.
Fucking Tony Khan.
All right. I mean, hey, you ended on a strong note.
Yeah. Hey, NFL is my wheelhouse,
yeah,
man.
That was good.
That's where I thrive. So hey,
Jennifer Aniston took you down right away.
I'm still mad about that. Tra-la-la-la-la, walking behind Bryce. Should we just drop that in?
I want that back. We've used it before. Yeah.
Kick your fucking ass. I want you off the fucking set, you prick. I'm sorry. No, don't just be sorry. Think for one fucking second. What the fuck are you doing? Are you professional or not?
Yes, I am.
Do I fucking walk around and rip that? No, shut the fuck up, Bruce. Do I want? No. No. Don't shut me up. Am I going to walk around and rip your fucking lights down in the middle of a scene? Then why the fuck are you walking right through? Like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you? What don't you fucking understand? You got any fucking idea about Hey, it's fucking distracting having somebody walking up behind Bryce in the middle of the fucking scene. Give me a fucking answer. What don't you get about it?
I was looking at the light.
Oh, good for you. And how was it? I hope it was fucking good because it's useless now, isn't it? Fuck's sake, man, you're amateur.
Okay!
Anything you want to chat about? Anything you've been watching? Anything good? I mean, you've been busy. It's the start of the season for you. You're getting the Stanchies off to a hot start.
Yeah, I watched. Stanchies been fun. That's been a lot of fun. Going to the arena again is always good to see, you know, coworkers there and friends.
You're sitting next to Moj this year?
Yeah, I sit with Moj. Moj is great. We talk wrestling. And I got Wagner beside me on the left. So that's a really good crew. That's my media crew. Yep. Really good. So I watched the Good Wife, watched The Good Fight. And then that led them recommending to me Evil to me because it has a lot of the same people who created it. And Evil, which is on Paramount.
Who's the creative team behind all this?
Two guys, I think. I vaguely know. But I just know it's good writing. But there's a show called Evil. And it's like kind of horror-based. Like it's the church teaming up with a psychologist to try and prove or disprove that people are suffering from like Satan and the devil. Okay. But it's really stylish and really cool and really well done. I highly recommend it for people who are into like horror shows. It's not like gore horror to get you like over the top. It does have some good visuals, but it's very much like good storytelling and kind of like their battle against. And they have the thing about the show that's really smart is they explain it in a way that it could be the devil or it could just be science. Like it never goes one side or the other. It kind of leaves you thinking like what's actually happening, and it's really cool. So Evil, okay. Really good. And a show called From, which I never heard of, which is basically Lost in a small town.
Oh,
it's the exact same show.
I never saw Lost.
Yeah, so it's like a whole mystery. Like people are in this town, they don't know why, and they're at night, monsters come out and kill everyone. So they've got to survive, and that's also just a really, really good show on Paramount. So Paramount Plus, going to give you a thumbs up.
Yo, hold on. So this is Robert King and Michelle King, who were the creators of The Good Wife and The Good Fight and all that stuff. Yep. This motherfucker wrote Cutthroat Island in 1995.
There you go. Boom. They have learned their lesson.
What else? They got Your Honor, The Bite, Happy Face coming out in 2025. All right, cool. I'm still working through my little rewatch of Nathan for You.
Oh,
only when I deserve genius. A treat.
Yeah.
Am I watching? I'm not going to just kill the whole because it's not
it in
that.
There.
Yeah, just sprinkle it in. Finished my watch of Justified. Haven't watched the sequel series of City Primeval, but man, I fucking love Justified. I was on a big Walton Goggins kick.
Gotcha. Fair enough. Yeah,
because I watched Vice Principals, then I watched Fallout, and then I'm like, I need more Goggins in here. And yeah, then I went and watched Justified. Kind of floating around right now. I'm not sure what to watch. I hear good things about Slow Horses. That's
supposed to be amazing. Yeah.
I hear that's fantastic. It just got picked up for, I think, one or two more seasons or something.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched The Penguin yet. But I hear it's excellent. And I also saw chatter that the episode 4 that they just came out with like a week or so ago is like 9.8 rating on like IMDb in one of those like premier live action hours of television like of all time, apparently. So hype delivered.
I didn't watch the Batman with the new one with Pattinson.
You didn't see it?
I didn't want it. I tried 10 minutes and I just gave up.
It's because of Pattinson?
Yeah. And it's like, I peaked with Bale. Like that was my...
Fair.
My Mona Lisa. But I don't want to watch The Penguin until I at least watch that. I know they don't... He's not in that, but it's still kind of the same vibe.
He's in Batman. Oh, you know, Batman's not in The Penguin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just want to get into the zone and watch that before I watch The Penguin.
Yeah, there's a couple things I'm letting build up. Only Murders in the Building, I've let a bunch of those build up. I was going to watch the Agatha Harkness show on Disney Plus, but I have a hard time getting super motivated for like the Marvel shows. I've just been, not burned so many times, but I've been so underwhelmed so many times, and I love Catherine Hahn, but I just, you know.
I've heard it's good things because it's like self-contained, so it doesn't get too...
Oh, okay.
Above
his
bridges. Like, it knows the story it's telling, which I heard is good.
Yeah.
I don't love the Marvel shows. I'm kind of bored, especially the new Captain America one. I hated that one.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Yeah, I just didn't care for it at all.
It had such a great... The cast was good. Yep. Good premise and stuff. It was super underdelivered. Secret Invasion made me actively angry.
Yep, hated that.
I fucking hated Secret Invasion.
I love Loki. I will go to the death fight for Loki.
That was some good stuff. What else they did? They did Moon Knight... which was underwhelming.
Yep.
She-Hulk.
I forgot that existed. Yep.
Their Daredevil show apparently is going to be fucking awesome, though. Okay. I'm really excited for the Daredevil show because you know what they did? They pivoted. They had bullshit, and they're like, okay, no, people are hating this, and no one likes working on it, so we're just going to like because I think they had killed off screen between the two series is like Karen Page and Foggy Nelson.
Mm.
And it's like, no, fucking bring them back. They're the trio. That's the that's the heart of the show is them. And they just completely threw out the script and the direction and said, no, we're going to do this instead. And everyone seems to be really thrilled and happy with it. More Kingpin, bringing Bullseye back and shit. And
nice.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Daredevil's probably, probably my favorite Marvel character. Comics-wise, I fucking love Daredevil, so I'm really psyched for that. I'll tell you right now, did you ever watch Severance on Apple?
I did. I have not watched all of it, but I got to get back into it, yeah.
Okay, because if you haven't, because anybody, when I watched it, I lost my mind because I got super into it, and then the really cliffhanger-type ending, and it ended like 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
So I was a year late from the finale before I finally watched it, and then I'm like on Reddit just looking and people have been losing their minds waiting a year for some sort of resolution, and now it's going to be another year and a half until the second season. So I was telling people, hey, I watched Severance, it was excellent, but do not start watching it until season two is on the imminent horizon and you can lovely just dovetail finish season one and go right into season two. So yeah. Season two, I think, comes out in January. So if you wanted to rewatch, or if anybody out there wants to watch it, you know, now is almost the time. I think Mike Paris didn't listen to me. I got a text from Mike Paris that he watched it, and now he's chomping at the bit waiting for season two to happen. And I'm like, yeah, I told you. I warned you.
I kind of miss, like, you know, the old days where you had season to season, you get it come back. It was something to look forward to in the fall. Like, our shows are coming back, and now it's, like, 2.5 years, 3 years between, like...
Yeah. For like 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like a fucking $200 million show. It's like, where'd the money go?
If it's a standalone, you know what it works when it's like White Lotus? It's a standalone journey. Yeah. That, I don't care. Because someone does come, like, awesome. I'm not waiting.
An anthology show.
Yeah.
New round of characters, yep. All that stuff.
Love
it. Speaking of which, I don't know if you've had a chance to see it. I'm going to throw some respect on Ariana Grande's name. They did a dueling Jennifer Coolidge sketch on when she hosted Saturday Night Live last week. Ariana Grande's Jennifer Coolidge impression is unbelievable.
She's done impressions. She's really good at impressions.
Like, she's incredible.
Yeah, she's
I was
at them.
That's the meme. I was not familiar with your game. But holy fuck, it was really, really good.
Also, yeah. Shout out, Lonely Island made a comeback. New digital short drop.
I saw that. Was that the Sushi Glory Hole?
Yeah.
Fucking yeah.
It's so dumb, but it gets better. It's their style.
Sometimes you're going to get a dick. That's the thing. It's not labeled. So
yeah, you got to accept the fact.
Yeah. No, that was... I thought that was a lost sketch or something. I didn't realize they were back.
Yeah, they just did that for the season. It's like they're doing a bunch of people coming through.
Yeah, they're just popping in for it, which I'm all for. So that was awesome. Apropos of nothing, I think I listened to... Was it Incredibad? One of their albums, like front to back. A couple weeks ago while I was, doing the dishes or doing laundry or something. And it was like, yeah.
Still holds up.
It does. They got some good jams. Mm-hmm. You been to the theaters recently? Seen anything in the cinema?
I'm trying to think. Nothing comes to mind.
I saw Joker 2.
There was. Oh, that's getting bombed, right?
It's ass.
Yeah, yeah.
It also retroactively makes the first movie worse.
Well, that's what someone was saying. Like, Todd Phillips hated the fact that the wrong type of people were enjoying that movie. Like, they were celebrating him. He's like, well, I'm going to fucking ruin this shit for you, which I respect,
it's
weird.
I got to say, I'm so fascinated. There hasn't been a bomb like this in a long time. There have been bombs, don't get me wrong. But to this degree where all this, like, oh, Todd Phillips secluded himself in a cabin in the woods for opening weekend away from all human contact because he was going to get killed. Or I think when it premiered at Cannes or something where like Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix are like clapping and stuff. And then there's the lip readers. There's a lot of lip reading going on these days, but the lip readers are in and like Lady Gaga's like, hey, it's good. And Joaquin Phoenix is like, oh no, this is a big piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's really bad. And like, what do you mean it's bad? No, don't say that. He's like, no, it's bad. It's getting beat by like fucking Morbius and Madam Web and all that stuff, which here's the thing. I don't want like any movie to fail really, unless it's made for the wrong reasons. This fucking thing's made for the wrong reasons.
Well, not unless you wanted to, like, if he didn't like the people celebrating his movie, then if that is true and the wrong type of people were celebrating the movie and like losing the point of the first film, And so he's like, I'm going to show them. And he fucked over the entire his entire audience. I respect that ballsy move.
I kind of respect that, too. And I've seen him speak a lot at CinemaCon over the years. And I do like Todd Phillips quite a bit and his approach to movies and stuff. But it's weird that he would just make an intentional one. I'm also not upset that this is happening to Warner Brothers after them just deciding to cancel good movies.
Give us the Looney Tunes movie. Give me the fucking Looney Tunes movie.
Give us a Looney Tunes movie. What's it going to hurt?
Will Forte and Looney Tunes? Are you shitting me? Give me that.
Yeah, okay, you don't want to release Batgirl? Fucking fine, whatever. Brendan Fraser is Firefly. I was a little bit excited about that, but fine. But give us the fucking Looney Tunes movie, you jerks.
You're in court? And that's amazing. Like, Wile E. Coyote suing Acme?
Love
that's
it.
A great premise.
Yeah, you can't even put it on a streaming site. You can't even put it on Max or whatever. You're just going to use it as a tax write-off.
Get fucked.
So them doing that sort of bullshit makes me happy that they're taking this on the chin. Absolutely.
Well, it's horrible because like it's like if anything starts kind of dovetailing, maybe they'll believe it. They're like, well, let's just make it a tax write-off. And like, that's brutal. Like that's just a slap in the face to the art of movie making and storytelling.
Where hundreds upon hundreds of people are involved in the process. And, you know, not everything's going to win Oscars. Not everything's going to, you know, make a, you know, $1 billion at the box office. But, you know, let it find its audience. And then all the things about Coyote versus Acme that came out were all so glowing from everybody that was involved in it, that read the script, that was in it as an actor, behind the scenes, like... total tax write-off, and that's what I think is the most frustrating part. If there's a movie that doesn't work and it's just going to get, like, shelled, even then, fucking put it out. It's the worst that's going to happen.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you made a piece of art, and people will digest it, and even the worst movies of all time get their place, and, like, people have fun with it, and some people end up liking it. People watching bad movies for fun, like, it can all have its place. You already made it. Just fucking put it out there.
Yeah. I was hoping Joker would be worse, like Joker Folie au Deux or whatever. I wanted more singing and dancing, to be honest. I wanted more musical elements, but like she wasn't very good in it, and she's not her character isn't supposed to be a good singer, so she wasn't singing really well.
Yeah, that's weird to bring Gaga and be like, sing poorly.
It's fucked up because she's an incredible singer, but her character's off key a lot, and the it just didn't know what it wanted to be. It maybe just wanted to be a middle finger to the fan base or whatever. But it's strange. I've never encountered a movie like that that has made the predecessor like retroactively worse by association. I didn't love Joker in the first place. I thought it was just okay.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I didn't care for it. It was
just... trying to remake Taxi Driver or whatever. Okay, that's all right. Fine. Fuck whatever. But I was into it. It was a good movie. This one is just it was a mess. And to see it get shelled the way it has, oof, man. What do you think? You got Gladiator 2 coming out in about a month or so.
I'm not going
to
watch it.
I know you're
not. I'm
not
touching that. I'm sorry. You hit my holy grail of like movies. That was like, that's on my Mount Olympus and Mount Rushmore, sorry. And that's, why? If they call it anything else, if they had been like Fun Times at Roman Town, sounds good. I don't care. I'd go see it. Gladiator 2.
I wish they called it Fun Times at Roman Town so badly. So badly.
I would have seen it.
Do it. Like, what are they doing? They're doing a sequel to Ready or Not. Have we talked about Ready or Not before?
No.
It's in that genre of horror comedies, kind of like, what else is in there? Like a Cabin in the Woods type, or I guess that's a bit later. What's the one with the lady with the wide-set eyes and Nicholas Holt and the crazy chef? The Menu.
Oh, that was so good. It's like that style?
Okay.
Because I love The Menu. Don't raise the bar to The Menu level.
I, in terms of tone... like it's a dark sort of horror type element with like comedic bits to it. Okay. There was another movie with the chick who was the lead in Glow, the Netflix show that wasn't Alison Brie.
Oh, the blonde one?
Yeah. Where she was being hunted.
Yes.
Was it called The Hunt?
I saw that one. That was actually fun. I like that movie a lot.
Okay, so Ready or Not exists in this sort of subgenre of like horror comedies where a gal who looks, Samara Weaving, I think, is the actress. She looks exactly like Margot Robbie.
Okay.
And she is Adam Brody is in it.
Oh, nice.
She is marrying into a family who's built their fortune off of like board games. And I don't want to spoil anything else for you, but if you like those movies.
Oh, no, I've seen this. I have seen this. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, great. Yep. Excellent. So they're doing a sequel to that. You got to call it Here I Come.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, like, they'll call it Ready or Not 2, Here I Come, or anything like that shit. Like, I think there's got to be more chances taken with marketing, with titles, which I don't think they'll do because they want to, like, what was that one where they just, Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery.
Yeah, that's coward.
Get the fuck out of here. Cowards. absolute coward chicken shit behavior. So, yeah, fun time with swords and shields.
Fun time at Roman Town. Fun time at
Roman Town. Fun time at Roman Town. This has ruined it for me now.
You're going to be saying, no, it's fun time at Roman Town.
I wish there was a there were people you could actually go buy tickets from. I'm sure there still are, but I just get my tickets online now when I go to the theater. Because I would walk up and say, can I get two for fun time at Roman Town, please? Yeah. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, two for Gladiator 2. I can't believe you're not going to see it, but I also can't.
I don't.
On
an artistic level, that upsets me so much. They didn't need to. They told me the story. We're good.
I don't like that it's called Gladiator.
I don't need Denzel telling me, like, my man dressed in a Roman regalia.
He sounds exactly that.
He's Denzel in Training Day to me. Didn't know you had to get wet.
Oh, I see. I see, Helen.
I'm like, you're doing your Oscar performance. What are we doing here?
Oh, man.
Marcus Aurelius ain't got shit on me.
Yeah, like, he's going to say that.
And he does. It's an automatic pass. It's going to be great. Did you see Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice?
Loved it. Oh, man. Better than the first.
Wow. Yep. Okay. 100%. I liked it. I thought, this is good. Yep. I didn't think it was a huge step over the first.
It was to me.
Like, yeah, okay.
It was to me. It was a fun romp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you like so much about it?
I just thought it was like a really fun self-contained story. It took itself less seriously, even though the first one didn't. It's hard to say, but like it had more fun with it. And I definitely think they retained the original atmosphere, which I love, like kind of didn't go full green screen, but they also upped the graphics as well. And they it came together well. I think they were able to give more of a Tim Burton vision.
They did a lot of stuff on Beetlejuice at CinemaCon last year. And I remember coming out of CinemaCon going, holy shit, the Oscars production design award is going to be an absolute fucking bloodbath between hair, makeup, and production, all the technical awards.
Yeah.
Going to be a bloodbath between Beetlejuice and Wicked.
Danny DeVito wins it for Beetlejuice, his character. Oh, yeah. My God. Bob.
Well, they showed so many behind-the-scenes things for Beetlejuice at CinemaCon, and that's when I got excited about it because, like, they care, right? Yeah. And, you know, the attention and the love and they're putting into the actual sets, actual effects, actual costumes, all that stuff, you know. And Michael Keaton said he'll keep playing that character, you know, until he's dead.
Well, they're getting that close. That's the thing. Like, they're teasing that anti-hero face turn for Beetlejuice. They're getting that close to it.
They were.
Give it to me. Yeah. I will say the one thing that didn't work for me was they built up the heel, his ex-wife. They built it up so much, and then it was just over. You're like, oh, like that.
How did she even go out?
It's just the sandroom shit. Like,
oh, that's right.
That I felt was
well.
Garbage.
Here's the thing. I remember her introduction into it in the movie.
Yep.
Really,
that was cool.
Scene.
Her herself was cool. Going around like murking people.
I remember her just being this looming threat throughout the entire movie and all of her scenes being really cool. But when I tried to reflect back on it right now, I couldn't for the life of me remember how she went out.
Yep, that's terrible. It was like the touch of finger poke of doom for me. Like, oh, you built it up and that's what you're going to do? Didn't care for that. That felt like they ran out of time and just like, let's get rid of her that way. We don't have a solution to this.
I love that you loved Beetlejuice so much.
Yep.
Fantastic.
I think did a great job with it. It was just fun. It's also kind of is a nice throwback because like I am tired of like everything being green screen, blue screen, and so obvious. Like they had fun with the sets. They had good throwbacks. They paid homage to the first one, but didn't go too hard. Like they just did a really good job. I really liked it. You could tell they loved what they were working with. Like you said, like they knew, they loved it.
Yep, and that comes out on screen, and that makes it more of an enjoyable watch. So right on. Cool. Are you gonna watch the third Venom?
I will, but mostly to see like at the end of it what's happening. What's that post screen like? Is he part of this stuff?
That's so funny you said. That's exactly my approach to it because I thought the first one was
whatever,
fine. And then we're doing Carnage and it's Woody Harrelson. That's gonna be fucking awesome. What do you mean it's PG-13?
Yeah.
Fine, I guess. I just haven't been into it. So yeah, that's my thing. Is okay. What are they gonna? Yep. Dovetail into with this. Andrew Garfield gonna show up? What's happening?
That would be I would love Andrew Garfield to make a comeback. I'd be in heaven with that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, so dude deserves it. He's great. So all right, anything else you want to chat about?
Oh, I think
we got
it.
Wrestling to promote November 9th at the Wise Hall.
The other game will still be on PVR. Just come to the Wise Hall, hang out with me.
There
It's gonna be a good time. It is honestly a really, really fun time. Like last show was fantastic. If you want to have a drink and watch some, like, you know, just fun weird entertainment, even if you don't like wrestling, just come for the atmosphere. You'll have a fun time.
Yeah, absolutely. Where can people get tickets? What?
Well, it's going to be an Eventbrite. You can look up any day there. Or go to thenationextremewrestling.com. Both of them will have tickets. $15. Well, it's super cheap.
Oh,
$15 fucking dollars. That's it.
That's a lot of entertainment, too, for $15. Yeah. Without question. All right. Well, let's hit the outro. Let's get out. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Trust the Process. It is part of the Hockey Podcast Network. You can catch the show in its podcast version on iTunes, Spotify, and nearly everywhere else you get your podcasts. If you want to be part of the process, follow at TTPShowVan on Twitter. Keep your eye out for the call for questions and use the hashtag TTPShow. Thanks to our trustees for leaving reviews on iTunes. If you're listening on iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review. We appreciate it, and it helps with those darn metrics. If you want to hear more from me, subscribe and follow to At The Movies 10 Years Later, also on Spotify and iTunes, where me and my childhood friend Janine watch and review movies that were number one in the box office 10 years ago. For 2024, the show's been going for 10 years, so we had a very special draft where we picked movies that we wanted to review specifically this year. We just last night recorded our Halloween episode this year, my number 5 draft pick. Which I don't feel I wasted on it at all, even though there's a lot of good movies that were left on the bench. Ouija.
Oh, nice. Oh, wow. I haven't heard that one in a long time. Nice.
Yeah. Yep. So that'll be coming out for Halloween. What else did we draft? We drafted fucking Lego Movie, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy was our consensus number one pick. That's both of us would have picked it at number one, so it didn't count for the draft.
Versus Winter Soldier?
Well, no, it was like... I gave her first pick, yeah. And she was like, oh, it's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, that would have been my first pick.
I'm going Winter Soldier for me. Yep.
Yeah, so we're going to do Winter Soldier. Okay. Why? You're going to get it.
Well, I've already done it. Anyways, I did remember the guy in Twitter.
22 Jump Street, Neighbors, Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1. We did Maze Runner. Some good shit going on the show there. Now, why? Speaking of movie podcasts, now that one exists. You have one that really dances around reality, if you want to talk about it.
It's a real metaphysical look at movies, a much deeper look at movies than you do it. So, yes, it's true. 9.5 years of the movies later in space, as we call it. It's great. The movie, wasn't my favorite this time. It was The Interpreter. That's a bit of a snooze to me. I didn't love it. Nicole Kidman, Sean Penn.
Yeah, it was Sean Penn, fine. Yeah.
Me and Paris, we've come back together. We're hosting again. It's still a little awkward there, but we're working on it. We're working to come back together, get our groove gone. But we did have 3 people on because we bring on guests. We want to hear from the people in the industry. So we had Ben Stiller.
I've always loved to hear who you managed to book.
Ben Stiller came on again. He was begging to come on the show. Ben Stiller wasn't my favorite. We got Sean Hannity on here. I'm not sure why. We got Sean Hannity. bit of a political. I don't like it too political in the show. I don't know why he was here, but he had thoughts on the movie, right? Like, he had some deep thoughts. And lastly, we did have, at one point, one of the hottest comics around, but not so much anymore, got into the Botox, Dane Cook.
I was gonna say, you didn't even have to say Botox. I was gonna guess one of the hottest comics around, not around a lot anymore. I was like, is it Dane Cook?
Dane Cook, who is not he doesn't tell good jokes, but I've always said he's a really good storyteller. He is a good storyteller. He has good energy. Yeah. That's what's fun about him. You go on a journey with him. Not necessarily funny, but you just have a fun time listening to his stories.
You see, my fingers are crossed right here.
Yeah.
My fingers were crossed in hopes that your third guest was Mr. Fran Tarkington.
If only Fran.
He's tough to get
a hold of. Yeah,
he is.
He's doing a lot of movie podcasts, so you got to stand out above the rest to get him, so I couldn't quite lock him in.
All right. Well, a couple more episodes, and maybe you'll be able to be on Fran Tarkington's radar. Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed for me, too.
All right. That's all for this week. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to eat your Werther's candies, and no matter how bad things may seem, no matter how slow a start the Canucks get off to, you can always trust the process.
Anytime is a good time for the swear word party.
You know what I mean? We trust the process.
That's right!